Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day with the goal of informing and motivating listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 5 regional stations, as well as 4 additional stations in Virginia. There's now a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities. We sincerely need your help to accomplish this mission. Your support of any amount is needed to take this next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support us in this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale.
Go to fcbcatjax.com and click the donate button or send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258. Attention radio. Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about an issue today that I believe should interest every hearer, everyone that's listening today and beyond. I believe that it should be imperative that we understand the condition of our nation. As I said in the introductory portion of the monologue, this Christmas season is different. It is different, not only in your shopping and finding shelves partially empty, not only shopping and finding cost extremely high, not only getting in your automobile and finding the cost to put gasoline in the tank almost unbelievable, but we're talking about things politically, socially, economically, and spiritually that's taking place in America today that we've not seen before. And around the globe, it is seen, and it is because of a demonic delusion that is taking place. But ladies and gentlemen, in today's marketplace of ideas, it is something that is sad to see when the DOJ, Merrick Garland, the Attorney General, will sit before Senate Investigatory Commission and will lie under oath that he's not sent out a memo to the FBI to investigate those parents that stand before school board members and challenge them. Ladies and gentlemen, listen very carefully. In America, when we elect a person, whether it is to a street sweeper, a dog catcher, or the school board, or to whatever level it is in the political system that we elect them for, we are hiring them to do a job for us. We, the people, are in control. But now it's being reversed before our eyes by the Department of Justice, Merrick Garland. We sent, I believe it was a 32-page document to the FBI, asking them to investigate anybody, any parent that stands before a school board, and to investigate them as a potential domestic terrorist. By the way, part of that document that was done, also if you're a Trump follower, if you're a Republican voter, if you disbelieve in the efficacy of the COVID vaccination, if you challenge the origin of the COVID virus, then somehow, some way, you're a domestic terrorist. All of this is being interwoven and linked together. It makes it, puts it in a position where the government officials become the totalitarian, authoritative, dictatorial rulers over we the people. And that's never happened before in the United States of America. The article I was reading just before the news break, whistleblower reveals threat tag of parents for school board meetings. Let me just get into the meat of it. The media have largely ignored the explosive allegations made by DOJ whistleblower about the counterterrorism targeting of outraged parents that appear to undercut sworn testimony from Attorney General Merrick Garland. On Tuesday, whistleblower revealed that the FBI created a threat tag to aid in tracking alleged threats against school board officials, teachers, and staff as part of its implementation of a controversial memo issued by Garland, that's Merrick Garland, DOJ, head of DOJ, last month. On October the 20th, internal email from the FBI's Criminal and Counterterrorism Division, released Tuesday by the House Republicans, instructed agents to apply the threat tag EJO official, to all investigations and assessments of threats directly, specifically at educational officials. Ladies and gentlemen, we've gotten to the point, based on the present totalitarian thuggery and thugs with badges today, that a parent cannot challenge what the school board is doing. Parent cannot ask the question about what the school board is teaching. Nevertheless, the school boards in many of our municipalities across America are brainwashing our kids in school. They're showing them raw pornography, teaching them under the guise of sex education. They're teaching them that the Black Lives Matter is a good group and Antifa is not harmful. They're teaching them that the LGBTQ sodomite lifestyle is an alternative lifestyle. They're teaching our kids everything but reading, writing, and arithmetic. That is the general educational subjects not being taught today. And if a parent stands and challenges that, then all of a sudden you're the one that's the bad guy. You're the one that's on the FBI watch list. You're the one that needs to be investigated and persecuted and prosecuted. So we're looking at a total a reversal of the roles of what we, the people, are supposed to do and be in contrast to what the government is supposed to be and do. So, ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about today thugs with badges. That telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917. Perhaps you'll ask, well, why should Christians be concerned? Because, ladies and gentlemen, in Psalms 11:3, if our foundation be destroyed, what can the righteous do? And we're watching the total dismantling of our Bill of Rights and our constitutional liberties. We're watching today the evisceration of anything that's called the freedom of speech and the right of religious liberties and the freedoms in America. If we have all of the goods in the world, if we have all of the wealth in the world, if we have the greatest military in the world, if we have all of that and we do not have liberties and freedom of speech and freedom of religion, what do we have? Nothing other than a tyrannical, totalitarian governmental system. But ladies and gentlemen, listen very carefully. In the end result, after the rapture of the church, that's exactly what will take place on a global basis. On a global basis, you'll have what is called the lawless one, the man of sin, the Antichrist that will step on the scene and rule and reign this old world with an iron fist, and everybody will have to have the identification. We'll talk about that in a moment. Have to have some national, international identification for the then head of the government, the Antichrist, to be able to identify, trace, persecute, and prosecute, and even put to death those that do not conform with the policies of that era. That's after the rapture of the church. Ladies and gentlemen, it's bad enough for the FBI to be watching and have what's called a thread, that is to watch and to follow and to investigate those that may be speaking to the school boards, but then to go into the homes and raid the homes of anyone that has gone before the school board. Here's an article that is frightening. After I read portions of this, I'll take our next caller. But this article says, so it begins. FBI raids home of mom who protested at the school board. An FBI SWAT team raided the home of an activist mom of four in Colorado on Tuesday, November the 16th, knocking down her door, bursting into the home with guns and handcuffing her while she was homeschooling her children. This is the first known case of the FBI, of the federal government's making good on its promise to not only intimidate, but actually carry out a raid on a mom's home who was involved in her local school board policies, said Brandon House, who interviewed Sharon Bishop. The article says the United U.S. Department of Justice and the Attorney General Merrick Garland issued October the 4th a memorandum directing federal and state local law enforcement agencies to look for parents to prosecute nationwide who may have made threats and made harassing phone calls to the school board members' national network, equating such parents as domestic terrorists. Now, a mother, Sharana Bishop of Grand Junction, Colorado, has felt the brute force of the FBI's heavily armed SWAT unit used against her family. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, she was at home with her three children about 9:30 a.m. Tuesday when she heard someone pounding on the front door, then using a battering ram to break the door down. She said the officers manhandled her 18-year-old daughter, pulling her up the stairs by her hoodie, while another officer put her in handcuffs and ushered her out of the house. They proceeded to search the entire house. Three of the bishop's four children, ages 8, 10, and 18, were home at the time of the raid, as was her husband, who was also handcuffed. Her 17-year-old son was at high school. Besides being a frequent attendee of the local school board meetings, Bishop has also been very active in the voter integrity movement in her state and locality. She runs the AmericasMoms.network, and on that site, she features the articles and videos under the title, We the Parents, How Did We Get Here? She said she has not been guilty of anything but speaking her mind in accordance with her First Amendment rights, end quote. Ladies and gentlemen, do you consider that thugs with badges? I do. Do you consider that proper law enforcement? I do not. I call that lawlessness. And one of the primary things that the Bible says in Matthew 24, there'll be a sign of the last days, is lawlessness. That is a nation, a world, a globe that embraces thuggery, embraces the upholding of the hands of the thugs and the prosecution and persecution of those that are citizens that are standing for what is right. I believe we have Tom on the line. Go over the question and comment, please.
Yes, Dr. Youngblood, thank you for taking my call. My question to you is, I had lunch with my mother-in-law down in St. Augustine, and we were talking, and she says, it's not the place of the church to talk about these matters, that the church has just got to be nicey-nicey and talk about the gospel and salvation, but these matters you're talking about, that's not the place of the church. And I brought up about Jesus said, sell your coat and go buy a sword. And she said, that's not in the Bible. Is that indeed in the Bible?
That indeed is in the Bible. It's found in the 22nd chapter of the Gospel according to Luke, and it is very, very clear what he said then. Luke 22:38 says, and he said, Lord, behold, here are two swords. And he said unto them, it's enough. And then he goes further in verse 36. Then he said unto them, but not that hath a purse, but now he that hath a purse, let him take it, and likewise his scrip, and that he hath no sword, let him sell his garment and buy one. So it's found in the 22nd chapter of the Gospel according to Luke in verse 36, 37, and 38. Very, very clear, and it's defined as such. And we have the right, the responsibility, in fact, the right to keep and bear arms. Self-defense is codified in the Scripture, and I could go into Scripture after Scripture after Scripture, which codified to do so, that we have the right of self-defense. And Tom, not only the right of self-defense of having the sword, as you touched on, and your mother-in-law is 100% wrong in her feeling, that's the problem today that brings America to its knees. I trace the problem in America today, politically, socially, economically, militarily, philosophically, et cetera, I trace it right back to the doorsteps of the pulpits of our churches across America, where spineless preachers have stood in the pulpits for 60 plus years, whining and dining, if you please, the people, into believing that somehow, some way, that we need to be just little quiet people, sit down, be the little mouse in the trap, be the one that's sitting behind closed doors, saying nothing, doing nothing. The church has the power of the Word of God, the Holy Spirit of God, operative in the church, could be dynamite, explosive in our nation, in our society, if Christians would take the stand, speak up, stand up, be heard, be seen, be visible, and be actively involved in the proclamation of the gospel of Jesus Christ and the totality of what the gospel says. We can go back to, as you know, as I do, you can go back to many of the biblical characters, and you find that they were godly people, godly men that would take a stand. The Apostle Paul, Peter, godly people, David, Daniel, et cetera, taking a stand for the gospel, taking a stand for truth, regardless of what the governmental officials might say and do. So she is the germ image of what you find in America today, the reason America's in the condition it's in. This is the reason you have preachers standing in the pulpit and saying that the COVID vaccination is good and every Christian ought to honor God and do so. Even one Christian statesman said that if Jesus were on the earth today, he would take the COVID vaccine. That's an absolute, disintegration of anything that's called truth, biblically speaking. And as a result of that, we're wooing Christians, conservatives, and patriots into being silent. And that's what the government wants from us, is silence.
Yes, thank you, Dr. Youngblood. Don't you think that the First and Second Amendments have already been trampled because you have hate speech, which eliminates the First Amendment? And the second one, you know, during Katrina, they went door to door and asked you, did you have any weapons? If you said, yes, you did, they knocked your door down, throwed you on the ground or on the floor, and seized your weapons. of the Second Amendment. So now that you standing on Greece, it's a very slippery place you're standing on.
Absolutely, and I'm glad you touched on that, because what we're watching is the listen, any law, any rule, any regulation that in any fashion interplays with or controls our amendments, our First and Second Amendment in particular, it absolutely eviscerates that amendment. If a control says there's certain speech that is hate speech, you cannot speak it, that infringes on the First Amendment right. If any rule or regulation, any tyrannical dictatorship governmental system says that you can't open your church, that infringes on the right of religious liberties. If any governmental administration or any rule or regulation like the red flag law or the some of our laws today in some of the cities and states and counties across America that allows them to impose heavy taxes on ammo, it is an infringement on the Second Amendment right. So we're watching not just the First and Second Amendment, but primarily the First and Second Amendments being eviscerated today. And if we can destroy the First and Second Amendment, the balance of them have no value at all. We have destroyed our Bill of Rights, if that is the case. And any rule, any regulation, any law, any licensure that's required, any, that's required for the liberties of speech and the liberties of self-defense, infringe upon those, that destroys the intent of our founding fathers. You're exactly right. Brother Tom, thank you so much. Have a great day. Keep looking up. Our redemption draweth nigh. I believe we have Greg on the line. Go with the question or comment, please.
That conversation with Tom was good. I think a lot of times believers especially overlook certain things where government treads upon rights. And, you know, you have a group of Christians today, a segment of the society that professes to be Christian, that says we ought to just, you know, bow down. We ought to just submit to whatever's put before us. And somehow or another, I think they mistake, within that group, they mistake folks like Joe Biden as being an authority, or folks like their mayor as being an authority, or folks like the governor being authority. And they don't recognize the fact that the authority is not in the man, but in the document. We're a rule of law country. The Constitution is self-described as the supreme law of the land. If you don't believe me, go ahead and open your Constitution up to Article 6. I think it's Clause 2. Deals with that specifically. It's the supreme law of the land, and every law that is made has to be in keeping with that. Somehow or another, we've overlooked these things where the government has said, hey, we're going to tax your ammunition at a little higher rate. No. You can't do it. And once they've partitioned that out and people have said okay to it, you fast forward to a time when leftists completely control. They go, hey, they've already said okay to us taxing their ammunition at a higher rate, so let's just make it a $1,000 a box ammunition tax. Let's just make it a $1,000 a year carry concealed permit or a carry permit. You know, so once you go down that path, chaos ensues. And you have another segment of believers that are professing believers that say, you know, that we should not be hung up on our rights or our liberties as a believer. Well, you know, I think that's absurd, considering the fact the same guy that penned the words that we see in Romans chapter 13, also in Acts 22 and elsewhere, demands his rights as a Roman citizen. So either Paul was extremely confused, or the harmony there is, you know, God's blessed us with this system in the United States where we can hold the politicians and bureaucrats' feet to the fire, and the fire being the Constitution. That was something, I mean, you go back and read the Declaration, and you read the Constitution through and through, a very short, 4 pages long, pretty easy read. Read that through, and you'll find, my goodness, it was very well constructed. The sad thing is we don't teach it to kids anymore today. You can't defend rights that you don't know that you have. And we've just let things slip through our fingers as adults and have not passed that on generation by generation, as is required of the believer in Psalms chapter 78, Deuteronomy, but dealing with God and dealing with his promises and his judgments and his laws and such. But we have a responsibility to pass on to our kids what their rights are, the authorities and the limitations of civil governance, and where God plays his role, and he's over all. The two tablets of the law under Moses, that were handed to Moses, half those dealt with your responsibility before God and half your responsibility before your fellow man. And those things are reiterated in short form by Jesus Christ when he says, you know, there are but two laws, love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, and all your soul. That's the first. And the second is likened to it, love your neighbor as yourself. We miss out on this when we fail to share this, you know, this truth with the next generation.
Absolutely. Greg, if I could hook on to your statements there, which were very, very eloquently stated, and I'm in full agreement with it. We as believers, as God-fearers, Old Testament believers in the New Testament, we have the responsibility to be watchmen on the wall, warning of dangers ahead. As I understand the Scripture, as I read the Scripture, I understand it, we're charged with that responsibility. And we're charged with the responsibility of the blood of our neighbors and our friends and relatives and families and other citizens if we do not warn them and danger comes and destroys them. So I am concerned with any mealy-mouth philosophical rhetoric coming out of the mouth of a so-called Christian that said we ought not to do anything, we need to be silent. Some have that philosophy today. Some, perhaps, that are listening have that philosophy. I'd like for you to call in 831-0917. Give me a biblical text. Give me a biblical verse. Give me a biblical context where what I'm saying is wrong, what we're doing ought not to be done. Greg, I'm looking at another article that briefly we need to talk about. James O'Keefe. Latest case of weaponizing the justice system. Latest case of thugs with badges. Are you familiar with the James O'Keefe statement and what has taken place in his position where the thugs with badges raided his home and the homes of his other investigative reporters?
It's interesting to see the chaos, the Pandora's box that the feds under the FBI have opened in that particular case. You know, first off, secret or private sources for this media outlet, by the way, it's a media company, have been threatened by just the mere seizure of these, I know it's phones, I don't know if it's laptops as well, but, you know, they have a boatload of information, and supposedly they were just investigating the supposed theft of Joe Biden's daughter's diary. Now, folks, listen to this for just a second. I want you to search the federal code. And I want you to find where that's a law in the U.S. because, you know, the FBI, they enforce federal law. And of course, it's interesting to note this case with O'Keefe. He was presented with Joe Biden's daughter's diary, and he subsequently turned it over to law enforcement because he could not confirm whether or not it was gained lawfully, if it was just found somewhere or if it was stolen. Regardless, he turns it over to law enforcement. So he did the right thing. And guess what? He didn't publish any information out of the diary. So they didn't have a case to investigate. So anybody that knows the answer to this, under what authority did the FBI go in and seize information from James O'Keefe, digital information? Under what authority did they do that? They didn't have any authority that I can find, that I can see. So it's the politicization of law enforcement. That's a very dangerous thing. When you stop enforcing laws and you start pursuing individuals, I mean, that's what they've done with Donald Trump. It's like, we want to investigate this and this and that. You go, stop. What crime are you investigating? Well, basically, we know if we look hard enough, I mean, he's got hundreds of businesses and he's a billion. If we look hard enough, we can find something. Well, let me follow you all day, every day, and eventually I can find something on you. That's not what we do in this country. That's what tyrants do, but that's not a rule of law country. That's a rule of tyrant country when you start pursuing individuals rather than enforcing laws. It's perverse, truly perverse.
That's exactly what they're doing, Greg. By the way, ladies and gentlemen, this is one of our four sons, Greg Youngblood. Greg is still residing up in what he calls the southern tip of heaven, up in Tennessee. And I believe you had some pretty cold weather the other day, didn't you?
It's beautiful. I know you don't like to hear cold weather, but Viking Mountain was covered in snow, and you wake up to that 20-something degree and frost everywhere. Well, ice here and there. It's beautiful, though. Absolutely beautiful country. The greatest country on God's green earth, and this is the most beautiful part of it.
Amen. Well, I like to look at postcards that's got those pictures on it.
You like to enjoy the snow from 500 miles away. I understand.
You got it. I got that. Greg, I'm looking at an article that says January the 6th rally goers describe intimidating visits from the FBI. This goes deeper now. Not just the homeschool moms, not just the school moms that go to the school boards and challenge the school board, not just James O'Keefe that's getting information that ought to be received with open arms and glad hearts by the any federal or state agencies wanting to enforce the law properly. But rather than that, they are trying to destroy now James O'Keefe for some of the things he's uncovered, uncovering the lies about CNN, uncovering things. And much of his documents now, by the way, Greg, perhaps you're already aware of, already been turned over to the New York Times. And it's a real wonderment as to how the New York Times got documents, articles, phone records, etc., of James O'Keefe's that was taken by the FBI. Who in the FBI is supplying that information now to be published so that they can try to destroy James O'Keefe? But here's another article. Riley Gore's described intimidating visits. I'll just read a brief statement. While many have been arrested for participation in the January the 6th, 2021 rally in support of President Donald J. Trump, many others have been questioned by the FBI about their presence there that day. Those who have been questioned say the visit from the FBI is intimidating and made them think twice about speaking their mind politically in the future at all. The FBI investigation into what happened on that day continues. The investigation into the events of the Capitol events of January the 6th, this article further states quickly, two men knocked on the door of Devon Hart's Chester County, Pennsylvania home in April around 7 a.m., and she figured it was the chimney sweep service that she had scheduled for that day. Long and short of it is, Greg, she opened the door and found the thugs with badges, with bright lights in her eyes and handcuffs, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And she was then put in a position of being questioned just because she was in Washington, D.C. at the rally, didn't go near the Capitol. In fact, she had left the Capitol grounds at that moment. But they're investigating everyone that was there and intimidating them. What do you think about that quickly? And then wrap it up with what should Christians do? How should we respond to what we see taking place this Christmas season that endangers the life and liberty, religious freedom of all of us?
Well, the reality is there's the militarization of every agency of government against perceived political foes, and that's what we're seeing with this. But believers need to realize, you know, we're just one generation away from complete apostasy. So believers, stand up and speak up. Speak the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And for those patriots, we're just one generation away from the loss of our freedom. So stand up and speak up as a believer and as a patriot today.
Amen. Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen, for joining us on Let's Face the Issues. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as once again we face the issues.
Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida. Located 1/2 mile south of I-295. FCBC invites you to tune in nightly, 9 to 9:45 p.m. for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.9 FM. You are invited to worship with them 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal Bible study. Prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in the same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard in its entirety 9 p.m. on 100.3 FM and 93.3 HD3. You're also invited to tune in Sunday mornings at 8 a.m. on Talk 100.3 for expository preaching. Tune in and invite others to listen.